on the 11th chapter. This is a familiar setting of Scripture, beginning in verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Of course, this is Lazarus that has died and been buried here 4 days. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. That is a strong statement of conviction and faith. I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Had you been here, you could have prevented this. But I know whatever you ask, God will give it. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I believe that you are the Messiah. Amen. I am reading again. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. I'm going to preach for a while before I give my title. Amen. I may be almost through preaching today before I give this message a title. It's not because I don't have one. It's because this is what I feel to do. Amen. And so we're going to pray. We're going to pray the will of God be done in every heart and life, from this pulpit to the back pew, all across this sanctuary. I want the Holy Ghost to help us today. Would you pray that with me together in Jesus' name? Lord, I thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you for the liberty of the Holy Ghost that you have allowed us to feel in this place already. God, I'm taking authority in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I'm praying the liberty of the Holy Ghost. We bless your mighty name. We bless the mighty name of Jesus. We honor the mighty name of Jesus. We glorify the mighty name of Jesus. Confirm your word in this house. Oh God, let the word of God go forth with great anointing. Open a great door and effectual, I pray. Oh, let revelation and conviction come. And everyone said in Jesus' name, please be seated. Lord bless you. Most of us in this sanctuary this afternoon are very familiar. Others are quite familiar. Others perhaps even somewhat familiar with this story in John the 11th chapter. the backstory of John 11, or our text that we find in John 11, says that Mary and Martha had a brother by the name of Lazarus, and he got very sick. And Mary and Martha sent word to the Lord that he would come and pray for Lazarus, that he might be healed. And most of the time, Jesus would stop what he was doing and go to where his presence had been requested. But for a reason that only he at the moment knew, he decided to not respond to that request. He stayed where he was. And his disciples didn't understand what was going on, even the words that Jesus was speaking concerning his own death. He used the word sleep. And his disciples said, man, if he's sleeping, that means he's doing better. He's on the mend. But they didn't realize that Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die. Jesus intentionally withheld a miracle of healing from Lazarus. That sounds very uncharacteristic, but you just can trust the Lord today. Amen. If he withholds healing, he's got something better in mind. Amen. Can you say hallelujah? There are two very critical principles in Scripture that come together here in the 11th chapter of John. The first principle is that God is not bound by time. Amen. We've recognized little Jake Michael. He came into the world at 11:42 Monday morning. He has a birthday, a birth time. This service today, worship service, started around 2 p.m. Our Bible class and Sunday school classes at 12:30. My alarm went off at 5:30 this morning. We are bound by time. We live in the constraints of time. But God is not bound by time. God dwells in eternity. God created time. Time is subject to God. God is not subject to time. Amen. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the same. That builds my faith today. You may be going through the darkest, hardest, difficult time you've ever tried to endure, but you can remember a past victory. You can remember a promise from the past being fulfilled. Even your faith ought to be stirred when you hear that Jesus Christ is just as much God now as he was when everything was right. Amen. Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. Notice, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Past, present, and future. Amen. Are all alike as far as God's power is concerned. Amen. Psalm 90 is attributed to Moses. As a matter of fact, the introduction, the parenthetical introduction to Psalm 90 simply reads a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 90, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. That before the mountains were brought forth, Are you listening to this? Moses said, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. For all of time, you have been our dwelling place. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, before you said, let there be light. He said, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. As far back as you can go, and as far ahead as you can go, beyond both extremes, there's a God that's always been and a God that will always be. Amen. I read in Romans chapter 4 concerning Abraham and the promises of God. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That is the power of God's omnipotence and omnipresence. That is the power of his omniscience. That's the power, if you please, of his almightiness. He can call things that aren't even in the present as though they're already in the past. Amen. Something tells me today God is looking at somebody and declaring it's as good as done. Amen. I'm preaching to somebody right now. I feel the word of God in my mouth. You're like Job. You said, I'm looking for him. Amen. I can't see him. I look, amen, on the right and the left, the front, behind. I can't perceive the Lord. And all the time God is saying, your miracle is as good as done. You don't see it, but it's already done. Hallelujah. He calls things which be not as though they were. Right. Right. Amen. Amen. You haven't even repented of your sins. You've yet to obey the gospel. But Jesus sees you in the church. You may be a first time guest. Amen. You may have come back a time or two and you're trying to, amen, put your feelers out and try to figure out what in the world is going on with these radical apostolics. Amen. Why do they do the things they do? Amen. That's as it is as far as you can see. But in faith, amen, I see you participating. In faith, I see you doing more than looking around, raising your eyebrows. I see you partaking of the things of God. Amen. Some of you in the pew that looked up and enjoyed the choir, God can see you in it. He calls those things that be not as though they were. Oh, hallelujah. A very important principle. God is not bound by time. God is not intimidated by time. Lord, if you don't hurry, Lazarus is going to die. He didn't hurry. When he shows up, Martha says with passion and intense desire, Lord, if you'd been here, you could have prevented this. He seems just to take this in stride. Amen. I'm not bound by time, Martha. I'm not controlled by what you're controlled by. I'm not intimidated by what you're intimidated by. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Another principle that is joined with this element of the eternal God is that God specializes in impossibilities. He specializes in what men says is impossible. God does what man can't do. Amen. God can reach where we can't reach. God can perform beyond the ability of humanity. God specializes in restoration and salvation. I can tell you what to do, amen, to get God's attention, but I'm not God. I can't do it. Amen. His word declares if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I cannot forgive your sin. I'm not God, but God specializes in what is too much for man to accomplish. Oh, hallelujah. No, you're not. Amen. Paul declares to the church at Corinth that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Amen. This is the word of God. Amen. I've not come to drive anybody away. I've not come to divide anybody from the church. But this is the word of the Lord. The unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That does not need to condemn you. That needs to convict you. That does not need to offend you. That needs to challenge you. If there's unrighteousness in me, even I'm not going to get in a huff, gather my belongings and stomp out of the church saying, who's that preacher think he is? Even he's just reading the book. He's just preaching the word. The unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom. I'm not offended by that. I'm motivated by it. I want to fix my unrighteousness. And then, amen, the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he helps define unrighteousness. He names unrighteous acts and deeds and conditions. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, those that commit sexual sin of any kind. Adultery is fornication. Amen. Sexual relations outside the confines of marriage is fornication. And don't be deceived. You can't inherit the kingdom fornicating. Something's got to change in your lifestyle for you to be saved. Now that's not my opinion. That's this book. Be not deceived in the fornicators, nor idolaters. What's an idolater? Somebody that has something in their life more important to God. Amen. You can love your marriage more than God. You can love your job more than God. You can love your children more than God. You can love your grandchildren more than God. Idolaters cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor adulterers, nor effeminate. It meant men need to be men no matter what era of time we're living in. Hallelujah. Men need to be macho in 2021, and ladies need to be prissy in 2021. Well, this is not popular preaching. Amen. This kind of preaching might get me arrested someday. Amen. But I've got to declare the whole counsel of God. Amen. If I am not living in accordance to the plan of God in my life, my Creator, amen, designated my sexuality. God decided I was a man, and therefore that's what I am. And so if God made me one, bless your heart, I'm going to act like it. Amen. There's a lot of things that a lot of men can do that I can't do, but bless your heart, I'm going to be a man about it. I'm going to be man enough to ask for help. I'm going to be man enough to, amen, earn a living, amen, do my best. If I can't do it, amen, pay somebody to do it. Well, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to lick my candy stick right now. Amen. But this is something in this generation that needs to be declared. Amen. Masculinity and femininity is under assault and attack from hell. Or should I say masculinity among men and femininity among women is under attack
It's not okay, amen, for a man to have a limp in his wrist. It's not okay for a man to have a sway in his hips. It's not okay for a man to have a lisp in his speech. It's not okay. It's effeminate.
The Holy Spirit wants to. So you can't. You, this is not the 1950s. This is the 2021. It's still a truth. And if you're intimidated by this kind of preaching, you need to pray through. I'm not being chauvinistic. I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm preaching the Word of God. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Homosexuality and that lifestyle cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It meant you've got to repent of that if that is what you are. It's not worse than anything, but it is bad enough by itself. Amen. Fornication has to be repented of. Adultery has to be repented of. Effeminacy has to be repented of. Homosexuality has to be repented of. Verse 10, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. You can't inherit the kingdom of God. That is not a negative statement. That is a statement of fact according to the knowledge of God. But Paul reminds the church at Corinth in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 6, and such were some of you. Even I'm declaring God specializes in restoration. God specializes in salvation. Paul said, I'm writing to a church, even full of ex-thieves, ex-drunkards, ex-revilers, ex-extortioners, ex-effeminate, ex-homosexual. That's what you were. But thanks be unto God, that's not what you are. For you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord. Oh, clap your hands and thank God for salvation power. I feel the Holy Ghost boldness even hovering over me right now. Amen. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. You are not unsavable if you want to be saved. You are not unreachable if you want to be reached.
Amen. To the same church in the next letter, 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17, Paul declares yet again, therefore, if any man, everybody say any man.
Amen.
If any man, if anybody, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Greek word would be translated better, creation. You're a new creation. God has caused something to change in you. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is a critical principle of Scripture. You've got to get this. You've got to understand that God is not bound by what I'm bound by. God is not restricted by the calendar. And God specializes in impossibilities. Amen. I don't know who you are, but whoever you are today with the most problems, the biggest pile of baggage that you talk, it doesn't matter who you are or what it is. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I'm telling you, you can check your bags at the altar today.
I said, you can lay your burdens down. Hallelujah. You can be like the woman at the well. The Bible says she left her water pot, amen, and ran back into the city. You can lay your burden down, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is not just New Testament theology, but Isaiah prophesied of the Lord. In Isaiah 1 and 18, God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let me talk with you. Let me reason with you. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It doesn't matter how bad it is. Just let me help you with it. And so, perhaps somebody's feeling today, preacher, that's easy for you to say. But I don't know if that really applies to me. It applies to everyone. These things are not too good to be true. Because it's the word of God, it's too true to not be good. I'm not trying to speak over you today. I'm going to say that again. It's not too good to be true. It's too true to not be good. It's the word of God. Thus saith the word of the Lord. He said in Isaiah 55, the heavens are higher than the earth. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He said the rain comes down, the snow comes down, and it does not return, but it waters the earth, and it makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed and bread. He said, that's how my word works. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. My word will be confirmed. Amen. That same God asks, amen, a question that answers itself in Genesis 18 and 14. When the angel of the Lord asked Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? I am the creator. I'm the one that spoke into nothing and made something. I'm the one that spoke into darkness and light came forth. I'm the one that brought order out of chaos. That same God declared through the angel in Luke chapter 1 to a virgin espoused to a man by the name of Joseph. Her name was Mary. The angel declared, for with God nothing shall be impossible. With God nothing. And a virgin who was just delivered a message that you're going to give birth to the Messiah. And when you give birth, you'll still be a virgin. That doesn't make sense to me. How I could receive seed without relationship. Sis, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. As a matter of fact, while we're talking about miraculous conceptions, amen, you got a cousin by the name of Elizabeth, who everybody says she's too old. Amen. But she's already in the family way. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. The very next verse in your Bible, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Your word has gone forth. Be it unto me, not according to my desire, not according to my intellect, not according to my understanding, not even according to my agreement, but be it unto me according to thy word. If it's in your word, I believe it. And be it unto me, be it unto me, be it unto me. Come on, the word of God is trying to find you. Would you be foundable today? Amen. Would you let God find you? Would you open up your heart and say, God, I receive your word. Amen. We're not God is not ignorant, nor does he ignore blatant sin. I'm not preaching today, it doesn't matter what you've done. But I am preaching, you can do something about what you've done. And God will step in and it won't matter. But you have to do your part. When Isaiah prophesies of sins as scarlet being as snow and red like crimson as wool, it would seem that God has just decided what he's going to do. So he's going to do it. No, but there's a follow-up. The next two verses of Isaiah 1. If you be willing and obedient. Somebody shout, if. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God says, I'll do anything for anybody if they'll let me. But I will not make happen what they don't allow happen. I'll be a creator. I'll make a new creation. But you have got to relinquish control. Man, you've got to put yourself on the potter's wheel. I can make something beautiful out of the mess that you've made your life. But you've got to trust me. Amen. You've got to give me control. You've got to let me be in charge. It's not according to your word, but it's according to mine. You can't go to heaven your way. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that's God's way. You can't do it your way. You can't save yourself. You're not good enough. You're not righteous enough. You're not holy enough. But God is, and God can take the unholy and work holiness. God can forgive unrighteousness and make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. The prophet Ezekiel speaks in 18 and 4 of his prophecy. All souls are mine, and the soul that sinneth it shall die. That's why Paul writes to the church at Rome, the wages of sin is death. Sin is a big deal. God does not condone sin, but when repented of, he forgives it. God does not excuse sin. If God excused sin, then we wouldn't read, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Because unrighteousness would be excused. There is a sin God cannot forgive. And that's the sin that's not repented of. But if it can be repented of, it can be forgiven. If any man sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's lift our hands right now. Come on, let's pray the will of God in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, I believe you for your word to be confirmed today. God, I take authority over every spirit of fear and doubt. Oh, I speak the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I worship your holy name. Amen. Where there's death. Amen. I'm not trying to be overly obvious. Amen. But death identifies as the absence of life and the wages of sin. I'm telling you, it's not just a physical death. Far more important, it is a spiritual death. And where sin is involved, there's no life. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's no hope. Come on, where there's sin, your dreams die. Your ambitions die. Your desires. Amen. Die. Why? Because that's the payment for sin. Amen. It could be superficial. It could be temporary. Amen. The Bible said that Moses chose rather, amen, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin might be fun for a while, but its time will come and the pleasure of sin will certainly expire. And then this payment for sin. Payment for sin. I've come to preach about a God that can do something about where you are right now. You're like the lame man in Acts 3. Every day the same thing. Depending on others for any good thing in life. You're alive, but you're not really living. Is this all there is to life? Maybe you've asked that question to yourself recently. Maybe you've asked others. Maybe you've opened up the Bible and says, is there anything about this? Amen. There's got to be more. There's got to be more than what I have. Is this all there is to God? Is religion? Is just going to church and going through the motions? No. Amen. There's more to living than just being alive. Amen. True, the wages of sin is death. But I'm glad to preach today the rest. Verse 23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Wages is what payment is coming to you. It's what you've earned. You earn wages. Satan comes with a bag full of death and says, you've earned death. You've earned heartache. You've earned sorrow. You've earned misunderstanding. You've earned torment. You've earned addiction. It's payment for your choices. Wages are what you earn, but a gift is what is freely given by someone else that's earned it and says, I want you to have it. I'm taking out of my possession and I'm putting it into yours. Amen. Satan's wages are trumped by God's gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord today, you can reject the wages and receive the gift. You can say no to hell and yes to heaven. You can say no to the devil and yes to Jesus Christ. Amen. The devil says, but they've earned it, but they've got to receive it. Oh, no, they don't. Amen. No, thank you. That's a check I'll not cash. Hallelujah. I'll take the gift. I'll take the gift. I'll take the gift.
John 10 and 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I think we know who the thief is. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have a life and that they might have it more abundantly. Paul writes to the church at Rome in 14 and 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not physical things. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not about cars and houses and clothes. It's about salvation, righteousness, peace, and joy. You can't put a price tag on eternal security. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Paul reminds the church at Ephesus that you've been quickened, you've been made alive, you've been resurrected, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according. Somebody say, my past. In the past. Somebody say, my past. In my past I walked according to the course of this world. In my past, I walked according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience. In my past, I had my conversation or lifestyle in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. In the past, I was by nature a child of wrath. But God. Does this sound familiar? Hallelujah. Amen. It's not in John 10 and 10, but the connotation is there. The thief cometh not, but not there, but inferred, I am come. Amen. I am come. Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 4, but God, who is rich in mercy,
for his great love wherewith he loved us. Notice, even when we were dead in sin. Alive but not really living, dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved. I'm preaching about a God that's a miracle worker. Your sin is not too big for God to forgive. Your life is not too impossible for God to put back together. The trouble that you've gotten yourself into is not too big of a challenge for God to solve. Amen. I won't be much longer. I'm about to announce my title. I promise my conclusion is not near as long as my introduction has been. What was Martha saying to God? That's who Jesus is, God manifest in the flesh. What was she declaring? Lord, if you'd have been here. What she's saying is, what could have been? He's too young to die. There's too much potential. There was too much life to live. So many things that Lazarus dreamed that he'll never experience now. What could have been, Lord? Is how the devil operates, because he sees you in your present condition, and the very one that tempted you now condemns you and says, what a waste you've made. What could have been with your life, but it'll never be. What could have been, all the wasted potential. Come on, somebody is living what I'm preaching right now. Church, would you begin to pray with me? Hallelujah. I'm reaching, amen, for what somebody would call impossible. But I'm preaching about a God today that nothing, amen, with God shall be called impossible. Oh, the death of potential, the loss of his life, amen, but also the loss of what could have been because of his life, amen. But Jesus declared concerning the past, though he were dead, he spoke concerning the present, he that believeth in me, and he spoke concerning the future, yet shall he live. He walks on the scene of what could have been and says, what could have been can still be. That's what I've come to preach. That's what I've been preaching. What could have been can still be. Potential can still be experienced. Even salvation can still be received. Miracles can still be enjoyed. Peace can still be felt. Salvation can still come into your world. Oh, let's love the Lord together. Hallelujah. 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 Holy Ghost, help right now. Hallelujah. Don't buy, amen, into the lies of hell. Don't accept the wages. Amen. Accept the gift. Receive the gift of life. Amen. Don't allow the devil to talk you out of your miracle. Amen. Let God finish the statement. Don't just go home with what Martha replied. What could have been? Oh, what could have been? Brother Short, that's really the rich young ruler's scenario. The Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had much riches. Jesus told him, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to cut ties with you. There's a new identity. Peter, John, James, Andrew, they left their identity. They left their occupation. That's what they were. They were fishermen, but now they're disciples. If you want to be a disciple, amen, your identity in Christ has got to be more important than your self-made identity. You've made a lot of money. You've made a lot of friends. You've got a lot of prestige. Amen. Congratulations. But if you want to be my disciple, amen, being my disciple has got to be more important to you than what you have made of yourself. And sometimes those that all they've made of themselves is a mess refuse to turn loose of that. Amen. And they walk away saying, I'm too hard. I've got too many problems. I've gone too far. I'm too deep in a sin. I've told too many lies. I've committed too many, amen, infractions of God's law. I'm unsavable. Only if you choose to be. The only way you can't be a disciple is to walk away. Jesus says, I've got room for you in my kingdom, but you and your stuff can't fit. It's just going to have to be you. Don't be critical of others, because we all have our stuff, but there's no room for it in the kingdom. Go lose your identity in the world. Let me give you a new identity in the kingdom. Such were some of you. That's not what you are. Amen. The effeminate repented of it. The fornicator repented of it. The abuser repented of it. The thief repented of it. There's not room for you and your thievery. Lose your thievery. There's not room for you and your fornication. Lose your fornication. There's not room for you and your pride. Leave your pride. Lose your pride. There's not room for you. Amen. Your past. Amen. Let God take care of it. He calls those things which be not as though they were. He's got such a glorious future for you. Come on, church. God's reaching for somebody. Amen. Everything I've said has led us up to this point here right now. We're at a critical moment in the will of God. Let's stop what we're doing. Let's go to prayer right now. I'm telling you, what could have been can still be. Miracles can still be. Peace can still be. Joy can still be. Life can still be. Salvation can still be. Deliverance can still be. Pray with me, church, in Jesus' name. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray with a burden in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Amen. I'm inviting everyone to reach up to heaven right now. And as you lift up your hands, open up your soul. Oh, that voice of hell, when others earlier in the service were rejoicing and, amen, experiencing freedom, amen, receiving blessings from God, and all you could hear was your past screaming in your ear, what could have been. Amen, you can't have that. You'll never go there. You'll never experience that. It's only what could have been. It's only what. You'll never talk in tongues. You'll never obey the gospel. You'll never have real joy. You'll never really be a real Christian. It's only what could have been, but it'll never be now. Amen. But I've come to take authority over that lying spirit. Amen. Jesus says it can still be. You can still be saved. You can still be forgiven. You can still be healed. You can still have joy. Can you hear Martha's heart? Lord, what could have been? The life that could have been. The family that could have been. The dreams that could have been. And Jesus says, Martha, what could have been can still be. And he says, take the stone away. And he spoke. King James Version says he cried with a loud voice. I don't know what a loud voice sounds like to you, but this is what it sounds like to me. Lazarus, come forth. Bold, declarative, with authority, with conviction. Lazarus, come forth. What could have been can still be. Because your Bible then declares, and he that was dead came forth. I feel resurrection power in this house. I feel the breath of God breathing on us right now. Let's respond to his presence. Ooh, hallelujah. Somebody release your faith. Somebody prepare your heart. Somebody get ready for what God has in mind for you today. Hallelujah. Hell says it's only a figment of your imagination. Hell says you're wasting your time. Hell says it'll never be. It's only what could have been. Amen. It could have happened, but now it can't. Amen. Because of you. But I'm declared because of God. Amen. It can still be. Amen. Because of God, it can still happen. You can still be saved. You can still have joy. You can still be delivered. You can still be set free by the power. Come on, God's no respecter of persons. If he did it for Corinthians, he can do it for Tulsans. If he did it for Galileans, he can do it for Okies. If he did it for them, he can do it for anybody. Such were some of you. You were a fornicator, you were an idolater. You were effeminate, you were an abuser, you were a thief, you were covetous, you were a boaster. That's not what you are now. Because of the name and the Spirit. I'm telling you, the only thing between you and a new creature is one experience with God. That will change the rest of your life. Not just one and only one, but an initial experience of the name and the Spirit. The authority of the name and the power of a Holy Ghost visitation. I believe that's about to happen here. I said, I believe it's about to happen. Amen. Can anybody agree with this preacher right now? Somebody can remember when it was you that was being preached for. Some of you can remember when hell was whispering in your ear, what could have been, what could have been, what could have been. But you remember, amen, stepping out of that pew and coming down that altar. And before God was done that day, you were declaring, it can still be. It can still be. It can still be. What could have been can still be. I want us to clap our hands unto the Lord. I want us to praise and magnify the Lord. I want you to praise God for salvation. I'm telling you, it's not just about you. But when you praise him for what he's done for you, amen, your future is different than your past. Because of something that happened in your present. You feel that? Come on, God says, I want it to happen for somebody else. Somebody else. Come on, on, somebody, exercise your faith. Amen. Faith in God has a way of erasing the past and giving ink for the future. Amen. Faith in God has a way of changing the course. Amen. And bringing life out of death, light out of darkness, peace out of chaos, joy out of sorrow. Would you praise His name with all of your heart? Oh, 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 oh. Oh, I feel the desire of God. I feel the desire of God. Come on, the will of God in this service right now. Hallelujah, the will of God on these altars. In the name of Jesus, come on. God's not on trial right now. The Holy Ghost is reaching and the church is praying. I don't have all the answers, but I know this book is right. I know that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. And according to this book, if you're tired of being bound, freedom and liberty and joy doesn't have to be what could have been. It can still be. If it was just up to God, everything would be done for everybody in the world. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He died for the world, but the world is not saved. It's not just God's desire. It's your submission and your willingness to surrender. And give your death, give your pain, give your trouble, give your sorrow. Turn loose of it. Lose the death grip on all the failures. This is who I am. This is what I'm known for. I've told this story before. I was just reminded of it. I had a friend in elementary school. My grandfather found out who my friend was. And they had changed how their name was pronounced, evidently. My friend's name was Travis Bussey, but evidently my grandfather remembered when it was Busey and not Bussey, and the Buseys were horse thieves, he said. The Buseys are horse thieves. This was in the 80s. They're not stealing horses, Grandpa. That might have been what they were. But that's not what they are. Now they're school teachers. Because my friend's dad was my fourth grade teacher. They're not horse thieves anymore, Grandpa. Now they're upstanding citizens. What they were is not who they are. Because evidently, there was a Bussey that come along and says, you know what, I'm tired of being a horse thieving Bussey. I'm going to make something different out of my life. I'm telling the alcoholic can decide, I'm done with being an alcoholic. Did you just feel that breathe through here? Do you know what that was? That was the Holy Ghost saying, that's what I've come to do. Oh, Bartimaeus, the blind man, sitting by the highway side begging, and he heard that was Jesus coming. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they told him to be quiet, and he cried the more a great deal, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. I know I'm a beggar. I know I'm a blind man. I know I've got a bad reputation. I know I don't have a good address. I know I don't have much to work with. I know I'm not much to look at, just sitting here with my beggar's garment. And Jesus stopped and says, bring him to me. And And they call the blind man, saying, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And this is what your Bible said. And he, casting away his garment. I'm done with being blind. I'm done with being bound. I'm done with being tormented. I'm done with being confused. Amen. If that's your desire, I want you to come, amen, and get ready, amen, to be different, amen. Get ready to leave this place different than how you came. If you came loaded with sin, you can leave forgiven. If you came troubled in your mind, you can leave with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. As the church lifts up his hands and prays, these altars are open. Who's going to be the first one? Who's going to be the second one? Who's going to keep coming and saying, this is what I come for? Come on, that's it. This is what I want. This is what I want. This is for me. I said, this is for me. I'm going to get it. I'm not going to leave the same way I came. I refuse. Come on, pray the liberty of the Holy Ghost. There's some chains about to break. I said, there's a chain about to break in this house. Deliverance is about to be experienced. Amen. Lord bless you. It took a lot of guts to be number one. Come on, the lid's off. Amen. I said the lid's off. Let's come on. Come on and get delivered. Come on and get forgiven.
I can't do it.
Oh, baptize me, Jesus.
Baptize me.